I have another guest, Chiara Danna, finally an actress. I can speak to also the people in front of the camera. So welcome, Chiara.
Hi. Hello.
You're here with Peter Strickland's film, The Duke of Burgundy.
Yes.
So I'll let you the microphone and just give me like a little minute to introduce the film.
The film, Peter's film, look at the as a relationship between a couple relationship. It happens to be two women, although I don't like to label it as a lesbian relationship because he decided to work in sort of frame it almost as if it was a fairy tale, in the sense that the world they live in is in a place that is not specific, in a time, a period that is not specific, and also is a world inhabited only by women. Mm-hmm. That makes it, in a sense, the fact that the relationship is between two women is because the world is a world without men. So, and they have what would be probably labeled as a twisted relationship, a sadomasochistic relationship. And although I believe is what the film tried to show is how a relationship, any relationship, can become, let's say, suddenly there is an element of a power game,
mm-hmm.
let's say, between anyone in any relationship, and there is a point where everyone can find himself or herself in a position of being a victim or the aggressor in the relationship. I think in a nutshell that's what it is. Of course, the film at the beginning, the idea was to work with references to Franco film, Jess Franco's film, sort of soft porn, mm-hmm. type of film, and in reality became something else. There was simply one of the references, the point of reference for the film. Other important film that are they've been massively influential for Peter are Bitter Tears of Petran Fogkant,
okay.
Fassbinder, Belle du Jour, mm-hmm. and all Buñuel filmography.
I can see that. Okay.
Yes, I think those are the ones I can. Yes.
So was that actually what Peter did with you, kind of doing, you know, giving you homework before shooting?
Not much. Well, he gave me a couple of titles of these films, and that I had already seen anyway. And then only when we were in Hungary, because we filmed in Budapest, sometimes in the evening I was, yes, looking at some films or clips of different mm-hmm. films, but it wasn't very much for me. It was more for probably for something to discuss with the director of photography, with Nick Noland, and this amazing work I think he did visually. I think it's extremely, so I would describe it as a visual film. So there's a strong sense also in the script, and I hope also in the final product for the viewers, strong element of stimulation of the senses,
mm-hmm.
being that visual or tactile, or of course not directly, but I think there were a lot of details in the script about the texture, the material, okay. the color, the light. So it's really clear to have, like, for me, it was very clear to have a sense of the atmosphere, so he mm-hmm. wanted to create. So it's atmospheric, in a way. It doesn't exist, this label, for films, but no, that's what I would use. Yeah. But I don't know.
Mm. No, but atmosphere is definitely, I think, a key point here. Because there's always this sort of suggestion of different parts of the film and this constant, almost, reference. But, it kind of went beyond referencing films. It just... Latins would say sui generis film, something beyond genre.
Yes.
It's very unique, both in visual terms and also the kind of interpretation that you have from the actors, so you and Sidze.
Yes.
And once again, you have the suggestion between you and her as well. Nothing's really blatant during
mm-hmm.
the film.
Yes.
So I wonder how you worked with her. So Peter was kind of like guiding you through scene by scene, so during production, or perhaps there was a lot of rehearsals beforehand? Because you have also this sense of mostly, you know, theatrical Victorian times.
Yes. There wasn't any time. There wasn't any rehearsal, so
okay.
it all happened there and in the moment. I met Sidze just once, and usually the way we worked was like Peter gave us some information about the sort of atmosphere, temperature or mood you mm-hmm. wanted in the scene, and then we had sometimes a discussion, the three of us, but generally speaking it was a meeting and leave the surprise in a sense, or the fresh element mm-hmm. Between us. So that was the way was the way we worked. And sometimes in the evening there were also kind of we were discussing but about changes, because the script changed slightly, the dialogues during the shooting. It was a very short shooting. It was very ambitious because we had only 4 weeks,
which is really short,
yeah. Including like a few days off, obviously, but that's really short. And I think there's something you said about sui generis, and I think that's probably Peter's signature, because I think also with Barbarian Sound Studio, it took a genre.
Where you also play as well?
Yes, and that was the first collaboration, and there was horror, but Barbarian Sound Studio is not a horror movie. So in a sense, it's like his own interpretation and his love. I think probably an homage to this genre and in his own way.
And it's a very free homage as well. You know, he doesn't. He's not just kind of copy and pasting things. Like, and in fact, I wanted to ask you if you expected the Duke of Burgundy to be like that when you actually received the script from Peter, when you watched the actual final product, did you expect to have something like that? Because I think it says a lot about the comparison between Barbarian Sound Studio and this film. It kind of, it's almost like as if we can't really box Peter anywhere.
Yes, I agree. So, yes, in a way, I had a strong sense of all the, as I said, the atmospheres. I think the script was really clear. So I had a clear picture. A visual was exactly the same as what I found in the locations they created. It was all created. The house where we live in was all beautifully made by the art department. And that was all clear. But then, of course, the final product is really, really different. First of all, because there are like a big part of the film has been cut during the editing, like a good 45 minutes,
oh, wow.
which
okay.
is a lot. And also, obviously, and during the editing, a lot of scenes change. So the order of the scenes change, and some subplot that were really strong in the original script had been completely discharged, so like it wasn't there anymore, and so it changed a lot. And although the essence and the mood and atmosphere were exactly the same.
There you go. So yeah, for whomever is around here in Turin, go and watch it, because it's definitely a unique watch, I guess, especially here and a competition. So Turin 32. Yes. Thank you very much, Chiara,
Thank
for being
you.
With us.
Thanks.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.